D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie, Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Vanderbilt head men's basketball coach Mark Byington. Mark, thank you so much for joining the program today.
I appreciate you guys having me on. We had a tough night last night, so late night and bounce back. But life in the SEC.
We're absolutely going to talk about life in the SEC. But let's talk about last night's game, a tight loss, 86-75 at Florida. A tough loss on the road before that against Oklahoma. Your team was leading at halftime in both of those games on the road. Wasn't able to close it out. When you look at the film of these games, what were some of the differences between your first half performance and your second half performance that you'd like to correct?
Yeah, I mean, different types of second half in both the games. So both first games, the Oklahoma first half, we played really well for 17 minutes, and then the last 3 minutes going into half, it kind of started. Defensive mistakes, turnovers. We were compounding mistakes, and on the road, those are amplified. And it carried in the second half where we just did not execute on offense and didn't guard the way we guarded in the first half. And similar, to last night where, I think it was more them in Florida. I think it was them being good. Now, we don't have a lot of room for error. So if you kind of look at it, we missed two layups that were, very makeable layups. We missed the front end of a 1-1, and all of these are going on while it's a 3 or 4 point game. And we couldn't overcome that. And so then they made the plays they needed to down the stretch. But I was happy the way we played against Florida. We competed, played well, did everything right. And sometimes credit where credit's due. I wasn't happy at all the way we played against Oklahoma the game before that.
You mentioned life in the SEC. I heard Jay Billis, ESPN analyst, do an interview recently where he said winning the SEC tournament is going to be harder than winning the national championship because you're doing it day after day after day and you're playing better teams throughout the course of that SEC tournament. That just speaks to the depth of talent and high-quality teams that are in the SEC. We look at Vanderbilt's schedule and we marvel at the top 25 matchups you're facing on a nightly basis. There are no easy games in the SEC. So how has that been like for you as a first year coach with your new team navigating this gauntlet that is the SEC?
Well, it's just relentless. And if you look down your schedule and keep on looking down, you're like, it can be, it could be mentally exhausting and kind of put you in a bad place because you're like, all right, another top 10 team coming, road game, SEC. And even like we played Oklahoma last week, Oklahoma is in the top 25 for 4 weeks and they got a lottery pick and people don't know how good they are. So it's one of those things where you just got to take it like one game at a time and put everything into that game. And the problem that people understand is you could play really well and lose because the other team is just that good. And so we just got to control, doing the best we can, being the best we can. And we've been good at home. We've only got one road win in the SEC, but at the same time, I think we're a really good basketball team. Sometimes that don't always translate into wins.
We'll talk with Vanderbilt's head men's basketball coach, Mark Byington. Now, Coach, I can complain about it. I'm sure that you will not go down this road. But in regards to the officiating, I thought it was a little bit inconsistent. But that's just me. But how do you, when a game is going one way, because it was a physical game last night against Florida, but then toward the end of the game, you start seeing what was physical play early on. Now that same physical play is being called as a foul. How do you get your team to adjust?
Yeah, I mean, you do got to adjust to the style of how the game's being officiated. Mm-hmm. I got a player on my team, Jalen Carey. His mm-hmm. dad played for the Miami Dolphins, and Jalen Carey's dad said, it's rougher than football out there half the games. And you know, if you're sitting up close to these SEC games, I mean, it is combative. The rebounds, the physicality, the screens. And you know, we got to try to be that way. We're not the tallest team. I do think we are tough. And so sometimes we're not 6'11", but we might be 6'8" and tough. And we got to battle out there. We can't lose the physicality part. So every game's being officiated with that kind of going into it. And then there's other times where certain things are called. You just got to adjust to it.
Okay. Now, John, Jason Edwards, what has he meant to your team? Because this young kid is electrifying. It seems like when he's in a game, it's a different type of energy and a different type of tempo.
Well, he's all go all the time. You know, when he has the ball, I mean, he's trying to attack you. He's trying to score. He's trying to make a play. And you know, we need that. You need to have dynamic guards in this league. And so there has to be somebody who can – make a play when there is not a play there. The good teams have them, and you know, so the really good teams have a couple of those guys. But the fact that he can make a play just with natural talent, aggressiveness, his quickness, his skill set, I mean, it's much needed on our team for sure.
We're talking to Mark Byington, the head coach for the Vanderbilt Commodores. They're next in action against Texas on Saturday, and a big one for them. Coach, one thing is I watch – college hoops these days, the way it's evolved, especially the last few years since the COVID rules changed. When I was playing, maybe the oldest guy you would face might, as a fifth-year senior, turn 23 during the season. Now, it's routine. Every team, and your team is would be an example, you've got a lot of 22-year-olds, maybe even a 23, sprinkle in a 24. I'm so impressed with a guy like Tyler Tanner. And as you've pointed out, Jalen Carey is in his second year, but he's still very, very young. The way those guys go up against the older players is very impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be, you know, you got to have a different type of mindset because, I mean, you guys have all been a part of it. You go down to the park and you play the old man and he gets you. And just because of that old man's strength and size and experience and everything else, well, they're going up against that, and you're so accurate in this where a couple of years ago, you know, this is even before the COVID, you know, college basketball was getting young. There was a ton of one-and-dones and two-and-done type of players that were leaving. Well, what you're seeing right now in college basketball, you're seeing players that could be second-round NBA picks, but because of the NIL package they get more money in college than they do would be the second-round picks, so they'll stay. Well, you're getting really good players and talented players staying around, especially in the SEC. There's multiple guys that could have left this SEC last year and be a fringe NBA player or second-round pick, but they're playing right now in SEC play.
When Adam and I talked to you right after you were hired, it was maybe you guys had just a handful of workouts in the summer. I think you were just getting to know your guys and putting them together. I think everybody who's watched your team has been impressed with how quickly they have gelled together. They play for each other. They're unselfish. It's fun to watch when you guys get it going. What do you really attribute? Because you can do everything you can, but a lot of the players have to buy into that. To play the way they do for a bunch of new guys that had never played together before. How do you attribute that?
Yeah, they do have to buy in. They have to care about winning. And a lot of times guys right now want to chase stats or chase individual achievement. And you got to make sure they care about winning first. And then the individual stuff will come if you're successful. People will recognize your team. And so you're trying to do all that before they get to campus. You're trying to, like, do background checks and figure out if they are that way. But you know what? It's also something we got to work on every single day. And it's a lot of outside distractions and outside voices. And they got to be unified. When we come in that locker room, understand that, look, this is about us. And I told them last week, like, this is we season. This isn't me season. So right now it's we. And then, you know, everything's in front of us. There's opportunities up and down in our schedule, and there's chances for all of us to be successful. But we got to buy into the we part, not the me part.
When you watch, I'm asking this, I guess, more as somebody who would ask this to represent the local basketball scene, like Tyler Tanner is a really unique talent. He's got some skill set that's really exciting. Tell me what you see from him. Where he's going? His on ball defense. That some of those little heady things. It doesn't turn into a ton of points every night, but you can see these little things, and you start projecting that over a couple of years. It looks pretty exciting.
Well, it starts with his character. You know, you're not going to find a better person. And I was joking around with somebody today. I'm 48, but he makes me a better person every day I'm around him, and that's a lot for an 18-year-old. And so the other thing that's extremely impressive on him is he's so eager to learn that he doesn't make the same mistake twice. And if you watch in our film sessions, you know, he's right in the front row. His eyes are open. If you're talking, he's listening. And he's processing it. And he'll learn from his mistakes or others' mistakes, but he won't repeat them. And so now you kind of keep seeing him getting better and better and better. And when that's your habit and that's your approach, that's not going to stop. So, you know, he's going to continue getting better every single game, every single season.
I imagine when you first got hired that you didn't really have time to sit around and say, hey, let's look around. Let's see what Nashville, Tennessee is all about. You really had to hit the road and find a brand new team, basically. Now here we are a few months later. What are your impressions of the Nashville scene, the Vanderbilt scene? How has that been for you?
Well, I still haven't had much days off and time to chill. But yeah, you're right on. When I first got the job, it was like I was in the middle of a hurricane, and you're just trying to figure it out and try to do the best you can in that situation. And now you're in the season, you're kind of in the same mode. When I bring recruits in town and I show them Nashville, sometimes I'm seeing it for the first time just like they are. I was like, I had no idea that was there, or this part of town, or this restaurant. But the city's great. The students have been tremendous this year on campus. They've been supportive. We got to keep them off the court. They got to quit rushing the court. Now, hopefully we got some more worthy opportunities where they could rush the court, but we got to keep them off the court. But the reception, the fans, it's a hunger fan base that just, you know, wanted to be a part of something, and they're helping us build it.
Speaking of building it, you come in and you've seen all the cranes and all the construction, the Vandy United project, and I know there was a real special ceremony not too long ago. You've been in that building for a while now, but now everybody gets to see it. Tell me what that means to you and your program to have that state-of-the-art brand-new facility right next to Memorial Gym.
Yeah, we have the George Huber Center, and it is unbelievable practice facility and training facility. So it's not just we just play basketball in there. The offices, the technology, the film room, the training room, the weight room is state of the art, and that's what you need, for players to come in and to be able to compete in the SEC. You know, there were some things that are outdated when I first got to campus, and I was glad that I got here. And be able to use the Huber Center to be able to help recruit, to be able to help players train. And our players love it. I love it. I mean, every day I walk into the office, it just puts you in a good mood because you have everything at your disposal.
Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington joining us. Mark, you mentioned the court storming. I just want to ask if you've had any success setting up that GoFundMe page you mentioned recently.
I think somebody else was supposed to do that. I'm the idea guy. I come up with the ideas, and then somebody else was supposed to execute it.
Well, let me ask you a question that the three of us discussed earlier this week. Court storming is a big part of college athletics, but the SEC levies fines for that, and when you include the field storming against Alabama with the football program, Vanderbilt has had to cut checks to Alabama, Tennessee, and Kentucky totaling $850,000. And Candace Story Lee reportedly was on the sideline at the end of the Kentucky game asking students not to rush the court so that money could be spent on NIL and bringing in players to Vanderbilt. Generally speaking, it's not something that students think about in the moment, but in today's landscape, I'm curious for your opinion on where that money could be going that is now going somewhere else because of court storming. Is my roundabout way of asking this question?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure where the exactly how the money comes and where it goes out, and then the administration takes care of that. You know, the court storming, it can be unsafe, and that's why they do it. And you do see, you know, sometimes you got a student with too much to drink, and then they want to see, you know, the middle linebacker from Alabama and talk some trash to him, and that's probably not a good move at that time. And so there's some things that could happen in those. You know, it's almost, if it's ever done just the right way, it's a great memory. It's a great thing for the school, but there's some safety things that's the reason they got to do it. I've been a part of both sides of it. I've been a part where they stormed against me. I've been part of the storm. And it's great to look on television. Sometimes in the middle of it, it's pretty hectic.
Yeah, no question. Coach, before we let you go, can you give us a little bit on Texas? Because as you mentioned with Oklahoma, Texas probably doesn't get the headlines that a number four Tennessee, a number five Florida like last night, Alabama. But they're a really good team, obviously. So what do you see when you look at Texas?
Well, they got the SEC's leading scorer, and he's a freshman, Trey Johnson. He's going to be top 5, 6, 7 pick in the NBA draft. He's a shot maker, like, and he's incredible at it. So you can see the NBA like talent and moves in him. Another backcourt guy, Jordan Pope, big inside, athletic. You know, it's almost the same thing every single time you go into a game, like talented, well-coached. It's a team that, you know, I know they're playing really well. They got off to a start in the SEC. They were 0-3, and then they won a bunch of games, Texas A&M and Oklahoma, and they play Arkansas tonight, and they're playing really good. So it's every single night is a huge challenge. But you're going to see a talented roster with them and a well-coached team. So it's a noon game on Saturday, so I hope we wake up early and ready to play.
Vanderbilt men's basketball coach Mark Byington joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. Mark, thank you so much for your time. Good luck this weekend against Texas.
I appreciate y'all having me on.
Our pleasure. Mark Byington joining us on the program. The Commodores are back in action at home at Memorial Gym against Texas at noon on Saturday. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.